Amen. Amen. So didn't that look like a lot of fun? Man, what God enables us to enjoy while we serve Him on this earth. And then heaven, right? All right. As you turn to Jeremiah 31, I just want to share this opening scripture with you. Jeremiah was a prophet that went through a lot. As a matter of fact, they called him the weeping prophet in the Old Testament for a reason, the reason being that he continued over and over again to seek the good of his own people, Israel, and they continually rejected him, continually were hostile to him. Does that sound any different than where we're at today? Well, it shouldn't, you know, it really shouldn't. This is our privilege. Jeremiah, though, was encouraged and supported and strengthened mightily by God, and he knew it. He felt like he was too young for such a thing, but God brought him that. So before we read this scripture, I want to ask you a question. And here it is. And maybe you can answer if you'd like. If you want, you can. Shout it out if you want to answer. The question is, how is it possible, or can God love you any more than he does now? Can God love you any more than he does now? No, he can't. And he has always loved us the same amount. Whether we were in sin or we were feeling better about ourselves, because there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we've established that answer, that God cannot love us any more than he loves us now, I have a second question. Can you love God any more than you love God now? Emphatically, yes, right? We can. And it's not only can we love God more than we love God now, but God draws us to love him more than we love him now. And that means that the light shines in the darkness and exposes our sin and gives us an opportunity to draw nearer to him. So Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord has appeared long ago." Now, this is Jeremiah speaking. He's talking about from the very beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. I'm just pausing here for a second, but God knows the end from the beginning, right? Not the beginning from the end. The end from the beginning. In other words, God started at the end and then went to the beginning and planned it all. And if he started at the end, he knows what's coming. Amen. He not only knows what's coming, he's planned everything perfectly in our lives. Nothing's missing. Nothing's out of place. Nothing is for any reason for us to be overwhelmed by. He's already overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He's already come to this earth and taken our place. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he says, "The Lord has appeared long ago. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself." That's the very simplicity of what God wants to do in us every day. Draw us to himself. Draw us to himself. He's already established that. That loving kindness to draw us to himself. And isn't that comforting? That we don't have to strive and try to figure all this out. And God's saying, "Steve, lay it down. I care for you more than you care for yourself. And I care for myself a lot. I already have everything prepared beforehand. I already knew what was coming behind you. And I'm with you right now. Now I want to use you. And that's the part of this loving kindness. Now God is in us and he wants to use us. And that's our part of loving him more. That's where we get to be that instrument of God's love to others. But we see it fulfilled in us. And we see that constantly. He's drawing us with loving kindness to himself. And when he shows us more of loving kindness, we say, I got to give this away. I can't contain all this loving kindness. I got to give it to somebody else. I got to share this with somebody else. And that's what Jeremiah said. He tried to shut up. You know, it burned in his heart, and he just had to tell Israel, and God gave him that burning and that desire. And that's what we go from that point, and then we receive more from the Lord. So we're going to talk about that. So if we can love God more than we do right now, that's what God desires of us. How do we do that? How do we love God more than we do now? How is it that we can love God more? So turn with me to chapter 11 of Hebrews. And this is a very familiar scripture. This chapter talks about faith 36 times. I'm sorry, 25 times in 36 verses. Faith. And it talks about the need for faith. And that's where we're at. We're going to look at verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's pause there for a moment. So if we know that we need to love God more, we know God loves us with an everlasting love, and all he wants to do is draw us to himself. We can rest in that. We can know that. Now we can say, now what can I do, right, to love God more? Because I know I need to love God more. If that's true, and we know it's true, because God has established his love in his heart, in our hearts, and we know we want more of him, we see here in Hebrews chapter 11 that it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith. Impossible to please God. What does that word impossible mean? Well, let me break it down. Not possible. Isn't that a detailed understanding? It's not possible to please God without faith. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So now I know how I can love God more, because he says very simply over and over again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. So, how do we get more faith? If it's impossible to please God without faith, how do we get more faith? Well, if you jump to Romans with me real quick, chapter 10, verse 17. And you know, I'm talking about basic stuff here, aren't I? This is not like, I've never heard that one before. But I truly believe most Christians don't stay where they're supposed to be with God. And everything is like this. We know, well, I love God because I love God. I walk with God and serve God because, well, I'm a Christian. And that's what Christians do. We don't understand that's just the icing on the cake. The cake is the body in the midst of inside that cake. Frosting doesn't make a cake good. It can help. Once you bite into the rest of that cake, you say, well, I'll just take the frosting. Some people are frosting Christians. And that's not what God's called us to. God's called us to seek to love him more. by faith. And faith is the only way we can please God. And faith, well, let's talk about faith. What is faith? When we're in Romans, we're going to get there in a second. But what is faith? What is faith? Anybody can say anything you want. A little different. I preach a little different. So what is faith?
Trust.
What is trust? That's kind of what I did with not possible, right? What is trust? What is faith? Well, let me rearrange this for a second. What is the process of faith? What's it do in us? In Romans, it says faith comes, you're there, so 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So here's how we get faith, right? Anybody debate that? Here's faith. God's given us these words and they are alive. Something happens when we read them, when we're hearing them, when we're not just reading them. Big difference. When we're hearing, we're listening to God. Faith comes from hearing, which is instructions that were learned by the Holy Spirit. That's what hearing is. It's not just reading. Instructions that are learned by the Holy Spirit. So there's something that happens in faith. Faith, when we receive faith, because it's impossible to please God without faith, right? Faith causes conviction of sin. Number one, when we hear this, and we need that. We need that. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, right? And convicts us of a lot of other things too. Life itself, who He is, that He exists, that He loves us. There's so many things, but when we hear the Word of God and we're reading to hear God, I tell so many people, I tell them the same thing when they come to our doors and they have marriage problems and so they would need counseling, or somebody's a homosexual and they need help with that, and or somebody needs, you know, help with smoking or alcohol or whatever it is, and I'll give them a Bible and I say, okay, you know, read this. Start reading and let God speak to you. And then we're not going to talk about your marriage. We're going to talk about what God spoke to you. I can't help anybody. You can't help anybody, but faith, sin can help all of us. That's why we have fellowship. Be convicted of what God says is true. This is reality. And reality is within us. And all of a sudden, we hear something firsthand from God. Nobody can take it away because nobody gave it. So what I'm sharing with you is, you know, secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand. But what we hear from God by faith, the conviction of whatever God is speaking into our lives at that point is firsthand. And that's that depth of love. And God says, Steve, don't do that. Steve, don't look at that. Steve, go and do this. And He urges us. That's the walk of faith. It's that conviction that God wants to do in us and through us. I was preaching one Sunday at Speaker's Corner. You've seen kind of pictures of that right there if you haven't before. And it's a lot of fun. It's a place for freedom of speech in London in one little area. You can almost say anything you want, almost. And can't say anything against the Queen or the King now. But the royal family, they don't stop you, but you're not supposed to. But it's a great place to share the gospel, as you can see. I've been approached by homosexuals in the crowd, and they say, tell us where in the Bible it talks about homosexuality. It doesn't talk anywhere there about... I said, are you serious? If you're serious, I'll be glad to read it to you. And part of what you saw was, in the midst of that, had two homosexuals saying that, and then the next week a homosexual came up. I may, maybe it, the community, yeah, you can get that guy to tell you what the Bible says, I guess. But I read that, and while I was reading that, guess who got upset? Other people that are not homosexuals. You can't do that. That's not right. You can't read that, Romans chapter 1. You can't read that. And you know what happened? The homosexual that asked me said, no, I asked him to. And I kept reading, and they got upset again. And they said, no, I want to hear all of it. That's what they said. God wants to minister through us to those that we would never think would listen. And we can't be discouraged. You can't be discouraged where you're at. You can be given courage, though, by God, through faith, by faith. But I was sharing and preaching, and there was a man I've never met in the crowd, and there's always a lot of people, and I could tell he was upset. He was kind of moving around like this, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. You know, he can't stay still. And he started yelling at me, and I was sharing, preaching about that God is a just God, and that God equally understands right and wrong because he's the creator of mankind and he's the creator of justice and injustice. He understands. And in the middle of probably 30 minutes, he finally started shouting. He said, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that there is no gray with God? And I said, well, I didn't say that, but that's a good way to put it. And he said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go for a coffee break. So I've never heard anybody say that. So he walked out of the crowd, and as he walked out, I yelled, hey, I said, I'll take mine cream, one sugar. And he went. 5 minutes later, he came back. And he said, hey, Steve, I got you a cup of coffee. And I looked at him, and I said, thanks. Said, did you spit in it? He said, I'd never do that to you, Steve. I must have mentioned my name in the midst of preaching or something. But he stood there with his coffee and he's listening and he started getting agitated again. Hallelujah. And he finally said, listen, I've listened for long enough. He said, where is God? If there is a God, where is he? If you get my newsletters, you already have heard all this and seen the picture of this man. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Ian. And I said, Ian? I said, do you want to see God? Would you like to see God? He said, fine. And he put his coffee down and he walked up and I got off a ladder and walked up to him. And he put out his hand, and I put out my hand, and he grabbed my hand, and we both went down on our knees. He didn't know he was going down on the knees, but hey, there we were, face to face, about this far away. And he's grabbing my hand, and it's getting tighter and tighter. He didn't want to let go. And I started talking to him, and I said, Ian, don't you know God loves you? Don't you know he wants to change you? All these people are gathered around, and he didn't even consider it. He didn't think about it. All he wanted to do was hear whatever was going to be said. And I didn't know what I was going to say either. But God did. And I spoke to him and I said, Ian, this is your opportunity if you will believe in God. And after a few minutes, he said, Steve, I don't think I can. I don't think I can believe in God. I said, okay. We got up off. I said, it's all right. And he walked back in the crowd. And I thought, wow. How? What a blessing that was. I don't know what you're thinking at this point, but I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, man, did God ever plant a seed in this guy? Man, who in their right mind would ever walk up in the middle of the crowd, get on their knees, and say, I want to see God? He will never forget that. I won't either. But he will never forget that. And as I got done preaching about 30 minutes later, he was still there, and I'm talking to a few people after I got down off the ladder, and all of a sudden I feel this tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Ian, and he turned around, gave me this big bear hug, and he said, "Steve, I appreciate you." If that's not God working, I don't know what is. So, the plain and simple understanding, though, we know from Scripture is that we have to believe that God exists. We read that in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? It's impossible. For the one who comes to God must believe he exists. Ian couldn't do that at that point. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, God wants to give us rewards as we earnestly seek him. Ian, I've seen him a week or two after that. And he stood there and listened, didn't say anything. But God's working. And he's working on us, right? He's working on us. Will we trust him? Will we hear his word and receive faith? That conviction of sin, that conviction of direction, that conviction of hearing God firsthand. So I would encourage you, and if you're not reading the Word of God every day, to hear, not study. I'm just saying studying is another thing, but to hear God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. It doesn't come from praying or fasting. Yeah, you can hear from God through praying and fasting, but faith comes from hearing the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you read the Word of God, your prayer life will be much more direct about what God wants you to pray about. Jesus said that at one point. He said, you pray for what you desire, you pray amiss. You don't know the Word of God, nor the power of the Word of God. He directed that. So we need to pray, we need to fast, but we need the Word of God first. Amen. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And it's that conviction of our own sin first, and then the direction of God that causes us to not care what anybody else thinks, but what God thinks. And if I care about what God thinks, I'm going to be directed in the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5, right? Love, joy, right? Peace, right? Kindness, meekness. All these things are going to start adding up in my life because I'm seeking God by faith and I'm hearing the Word of God, and God's convicting me of my own sin so that he can use me and show me more of his love through his Word. And that last one was self-control, which we don't need, do we? Throw that one out. But that's the way God wants to work in us. But if faith is the conviction of God's word or God's truth in our life, and it is really, it turns into assured reality. Faith does. Assured, we're assured. Competent. Bold. And that's what Jesus was saying to James and John, right? They said, "Hey, Lord, we'll call down flames from heaven and strike these evil people." And Jesus said, "No, you don't understand." They had confidence and zeal. Peter had confidence and zeal. I'll never forsake you. I'll never. That's zeal of the flesh, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out. That's what I'm going to do. And that's something God cannot and will not use in our life. We have to learn that that's not something from God. You know, we are disciples. Another word for learners. Constantly in our life. Never, ever coming to the fullness of that understanding. Always learning. Always learning. So, Let me go to another scripture that you are very familiar with. So Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. So if faith is the conviction of sin, something, God has something, this reward. You know, those who earnestly seek Him wants to reward us. You know, God wants to reward you. Might not be the car you wanted, or the house you wanted, or the health you wanted, but it's a reward in the spirit that God has ordained in your life. Whatever that is, and that will be assuredly a fruit of His Spirit, of Galatians 5. But Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved," and there's that, "through faith." You cannot get grace without faith. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It comes through faith. When we are convicted of our sin and convicted of the work and the walk and the direction of God in our life, along comes this beautiful grace from God. Says it's the gift of God. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, right? It's not of me, it's not of you. It's God's gift. Here comes grace after faith, and conviction. So if we know what faith is, what is grace? What is that grace that comes along after faith? And I'm going to eliminate unmerited favor, okay? Because that's what you're going to probably say. It is unmerited favor, but everything we receive from God is unmerited favor. Can we agree on that? Amen. We don't deserve anything from God, but He gives it to us as He establishes His love. He loved us first. So what is grace? Along comes grace after the conviction of God's word, or the reality, what is real. God, by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us reality by in the interpretation of the Word of God in our souls, in our minds, washes our minds. You know, this is the problem, right? It's our minds that the Word of God, if we don't have the Word of God, and then the opposite of faith is fear. So fear or anxiety will come into your life, and the mind retains that. And without the Word of God washing our minds, then what we have is, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about all this snow? Oh no, I feel that pain that I felt before, and I think it's real. Oh no, you know, all these things, and this is reality in the flesh. But God wants us to say, I got faith. Whatever happens with me or through me or in me, you already know, God. You already know. And you're my authority. So what is grace? Faith comes. All right? So what is grace, though? What?
The power of God.
Whew. I like that. The power of God. Okay, so let me give an example. And this is crude, but I'm kind of a crude guy, so it fits. So if grace comes through faith, and it's the power of God, and I agree with that, let's throw in an example here. So let's just say I've got a car out there that I borrowed to get down this long hill from the Davenports. But let's just say that car, when I went out there after the service, didn't start. And so everybody, because you're so kind, everybody got around that car, and we're sitting there all trying to figure out how this thing, why it doesn't start. You know, we checked it, it doesn't work. Some good mechanics here said, you know, it could be the alternator, battery, it's kind of cold, you know. And we all got around there, we tried to figure it out. And, well, we got to get back to the Davenports. What are we going to do? So we all devised what we're going to do. So Doug and Pat said, well, I ain't doing nothing. We're going to just sit here. And then we devised about 15 different groups, and the first group would push at the first block. And the second group, well, up the hill, so we need two grunt, right? And then the third group and the fourth, we all devised this plan to get this car back to the Davenports. And Davenport's back here, no. So we figured that out. And all of a sudden, we realize there's no gas in the car. So Doug says, hey, I got some gas. Let's just pour the gas in the car, and it will affect the motor, and we can, you know, start the car, and then it will have its own power to get up that mountain. Nobody has to push. And if you'll let me take that example, that's how most of us, you know, in reference to the Word of God and in our relationship with God, we want to work. We want to get it done. We want to make this happen, and especially as a team. You know, team number five, number six, take the next block. Yet God says, my grace, my power, but it's how God influences us. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is God's influence, his divine influence, to give us wisdom and understanding where we're at and where we beyond our understanding, beyond our age, beyond everything else. True wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is how to use knowledge properly. And God only knows that. Scientists today said, we're full of understanding, wisdom, right? Go to college, you'll figure it out. You know, we got some great... It's a bunch of knowledge. And some of it's really good stuff. Good knowledge, but there's a lot of false knowledge within that. There's a lot of fake news within that. God is wisdom. And that's why when Adam and Eve decided to be their own wisdom, their own understanding of good and bad, and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he kicked them out. The wisdom just from God wasn't enough. Now, did God know that was going to happen? Yes. Did God have a plan after that? Yes. Are we in the midst of understanding, you know, the fullness of that in Christ? Yeah. And now we have the opportunity to, by faith, receive the conviction of our walk on this earth, and then grace influencing us to walk, to understand, to be bold. You know, all these apostles that were walking with Jesus were changed a little bit by Jesus. But afterwards, they started letting God apply that in their heart. You can read it in the, you know, Peter's. I mean, Peter, one of the ones that really was, you know, let's push the cart down the road. Don't use the horse. He you know, in Peter, explained, man, the fight is right here. He said, you know, let's put on this the armor of God. He's talking about, you know, enabling us to have the Word of God in our minds. First Peter, you read that, and John and James, and we read all about what God was doing in that. And along comes Apostle Paul, who just overwhelms them all in the wisdom of God, because he let that apply in his heart and let that apply in his heart. And the grace that caused him to be empowered by the Spirit of God, by that divine Word of God. So, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That word is charis, meaning God's divine influence upon our heart and his reflection in our life, resulting in his favor. So we're put forward, and people would say, you know, they said about the people of God, how do you speak this way? They've been around Jesus. You know, they had that boldness and that understanding of what was right and wrong, and they were ready to die. That's where we are. We love not our lives unto death, right? Because of the grace of God, because of the faith that God gives us. This was lost in the garden with Adam and Eve when they sought to rightly understand by themselves knowledge. Thought they could do it. So do we when we reject faith in our lives. And the rest of the world has rejected the grace of God, the mercy of God. But God is still reaching out his hand. That everlasting love, that kindness to draw us to himself. And God wants to use you and I to do that. And this is the greatest privilege. Never mind heaven, it's coming. We can have and are given heaven on this earth to serve him, to do great exploits for him. And you might say, well, that's easy to say, you're a missionary. No. I've often thought, you know, our kids say, you know, we have six grandkids, three boys, and they're all in Texas. And a few times in the past, our kids would say, well, are you going to come back? And I said, you wouldn't want me to come back. You wouldn't want me to come back. Why? Because I'd be preaching on the streets in Texas. That's why. I'd be at your school. I'd be at your job. Okay, stay out there. But that's what God wants to do in us and through us and bring us to that point of greater amount of his love, his loving kindness. That's his whole purpose. And will we take that challenge? That's the question. Will we permit God to use us and bring about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us? Because if we do, we will be brought to a greater place of strength and a greater place of faith. Faith to faith. A greater of strength unto strength. Grace unto grace. It's all God wants to do in us. It's so simple. We're the problem. We try to make it like I've got to do this and this and this and this. No, I get to do that through the grace of God, through the influence of God. I can talk to that person. I can do this. I can walk this out, this life out. I want to share one last thing, all right? Now, prove it. I'm going to shut my Bible. And in a moment, I'm going to show you a picture of a family. And again, if you get our newsletters, you'll see this. And if you want to be on our newsletter, we have a list of postal, snail mail, no email, if you'd like to get that on the back table. But I went, and I'm going back 28 years. So 28 years ago in London, I was going out every Friday and Saturday night preaching at the main entertainment district of London called Leicester Square. An American would call it Leicester Square, but anyway, it's Leicester Square. And I'd bring the ladder and I'd preach for about 2 or 3 hours. And I went in at the end of November and I forgot that they have a carnival there. So they got these rides, just a little area of the entertainment district. And for years and years, the police would stop me from preaching there. And they'd say, oh, there's too many people listening. And it's causing a crowd to gather. And there are pickpockets. And I would argue. And I'd say, oh, really? Well, there's you have a carnival here. And everybody's waiting in lines. And there's a bigger crowd than ever listening to me. You know, but that's okay because they pay for it. To be there. But anyway, and I thought, well, if I get arrested, and it happened once and only once. But so I was there and I forgot and I go, oh man, and I'm thinking, I'll set up the ladder and I'll start preaching, and I'll give it a good 15 or 20 minutes, and, you know, I'll just see, I said that quietly to God, a little frustration, and, you know, because I get up and I'm starting to preach, and you, dun, 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 and, you know, and all these people, and they're not listening to me, they're standing in line for their tickets, and, you know, they're getting cotton candy, and I'm standing there preaching in the square, and so I started preaching, and after about 15 minutes, nobody's listening, is about to get down, and all of a sudden, this girl stands there listening, just like that. Young girl, probably 16, 17. And she's listening and listening, and I'm thinking, okay, you can go away now. I want to go home. And she kept listening, and I'm thinking, well, you know, this is one of the only times that we were going to be alone, Tina and I, with one or two of the kids, and during Christmas, and she was looking forward to it, and I knew it, you know, and she said, you know, when you get home, we'll have a nice meal and all this, and so I kept preaching, and this girl starts crying, and I got down off the ladder, and she walked up. She said, I've never heard what you've said before. She said, I just one person. I've never heard what you said before, and I've been a Catholic all my life, and I've never heard that. And I, you know, can you tell me more about that? And I started talking to her and sharing with her more. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, I said, "What are you doing here?" She said, because I knew she wasn't from London. She said, "I came because my best friend was getting married, and they invited me to the wedding here. And they said, listen, you can come. She's from Argentina. And you can come and you can stay, you know, in a flat that we have because we're going to go off to somewhere else. We've rented a flat and, you know." So she said, and I got here and I looked at an email and they said, oh, we changed the venue and it's not in London. She said, so I didn't know what to do. All I had was 50 pounds because I knew that they were going to, you know, be there and I could stay with them. And she said, so I started going to hotels around the area. And she said, 50 pounds won't cover anything. And I finally got to one a block or two away. And the man said, you here, give me your luggage. And then after that, he said, you can, for 50 pounds, you can stay here in my bed, this Muslim man, with me. And I said, where's that? She said, just over here. And I said, let's go. I said, but before we go, I need to make a phone call. And so I got in a phone booth. This was before cell phones, you know, bothering us all the time. So they call it a phone box there. So I got on the phone and I said, hey, Tina, how you doing? She said, I'm great. You coming home? I said, yeah, but, you know, I might need, what do you think about a girl you know, coming? And she said, what? And I said, you know, there's this girl that, and I explained it to her. She said, oh, I know it's the Lord. Bring her. Isn't that about the way it went? Yeah. So, don't want to be corrected later. So it's affirmative. So I go, and I'm dressed like this, you know, with a ladder, carrying a ladder. And I go into this hotel and open the door. And the guy's like, you here to change the lights or what?
Yeah.
You know? And he didn't know what to, and I said, I'm here to get her luggage and her money back. And he said, oh, I don't have the key to the room to get her luggage out. That's the manager's job. And, you know, she's already got that. She's already paid that. And that's already spent. And then I said, no, it's not. And he said, well, he's not here right now. And thinking I'd leave. And I said, oh, that's fine. We'll sit. And I sat down. And I told, her name is Jacqueline. And I said, Jacqueline, we'll wait. And he stood up, went over there, opened the door, and gave us our luggage and the money back. So we went home, and for four nights or so, she stayed with us, and we shared with her the gospel. And it was beautiful. And we didn't know if, you know, she was interested or not, but she certainly was. And but we didn't know what God did or didn't do. And it didn't matter either, because it was God's will in our life at the time. He had prepared us and understood this was for this one girl, you know, this one girl among a circus of people. And so about a year later, we're itinerating in the States like we are now, and we're going to a place, and it was too far, so we stayed in a hotel. And we're in the hotel, and Tina's at breakfast, and I forgot the phone, so I went back to the room. And when I was in the room, I got a phone call, and I said, hello. And we had just got the number, the SIM card, because, you know, we do that every time we come. And so nobody knew. It was like 4 days we had this SIM. I didn't even know the number. And I get the call. She said, is this Steve? And I said, yeah, this is Steve. She said, hi, I'm Jackie from Argentina. She said, every year I rejoice in this day because that day I came to know Jesus when I was with you. And I went, you got to be kidding me. How did you get this phone number? Yeah. So I called and they said, you just let them know what the number was. And she's calling from Argentina. And her heart is so excited about the Lord, she had to call me. And so I forgot to bring it, but she would call us at different times in the year, every time that that was 28 years ago. And now, you can put that up now, if you will, please. Now she's married and has 4 girls. And that's her there on the right, and her husband, the short guy. And she wrote an email about, I don't know, about a few months ago anyway. And she said, she asked me, she said, will you please permit my brother, who doesn't know the Lord, to come to your outreach center and hear the gospel? And I said, of course, Jackie. You know, and she started explaining. She said, I still remember that day 28 years ago when you and Tina invited me into your home and you didn't even know who I was. And you shared the gospel with me. And she started quoting scriptures. And she said, and now I'm 25 years married with a Christian husband and 4 girls in Argentina. And that only God can do that, amen. Right? That's a miracle of God. The seed that was planted, that which Ian rejected. I don't know if he still has or not. Can't wait. It's hard to be here in the States. I'd rather be preaching the gospel to the lost. They're a lot more fun. I'm just kidding. And the food, yeah. No. See, nobody throws nothing. It's no. Anyway. Okay. Just, yeah, I'm not you, Craig. But I just want to encourage you to read the Word of God more. God wants to give us more faith. God wants to add unto us more grace so that we can be empowered to serve Him and do the things that we never thought we'd ever do in our life because God's doing them through us. Amen? 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 Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good, good, and beautiful men and women of God. And Lord, thank you for a beautiful little Eden. Is that it? Eden? Singing out loud. Amen. Never heard a child like that singing. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Lord, we all need to become like little children once over and again, Lord, hearing your word and believing by faith and walking in your grace. So, Lord, do that in us more and more, oh God. And I pray for those that have been lacking in your word, Lord, daily hearing from you, Lord God. And, Lord, you exciting us, Lord God, unto repentance, exciting us unto, Lord, your forgiveness and your faith and grace, Lord God. That's all you want to do, Lord. You already know our problems and our sins, oh God. You just want to love us more. Lord, you just want to draw us unto yourself so that we can be, Lord, truly happy. Your truth does set us free, oh God. So we lay down our lives now, asking you to do your work again and again and again, oh God. Do that, oh God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and God. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I throw my hat at you, would it have made you feel
it? Where's your hat?
I can't do that. Never wear a hat.